If you have your Bibles this morning, I'm going to, on purpose, I'm going to read in four or five different places in the Word of God and begin preaching today. We'll go to our main text first in Jeremiah 23. Turn to Jeremiah 23. But this is the third, it may not be the third message, but it's the third thought in the series of messages on the pleasant places in the wilderness are dried up. The Word of God said in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, and verse number 9, Jeremiah said, "My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake." I want you to understand here that Jeremiah's tears at this time and his brokenness at this time is not as a result of what's going on in the world. It's a result of what's going on among God's people. The prophets. The Bible said here, "My heart is broken because of the prophets." He said, "All my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness." Well, I would to God that some way or another, the Bible said judgment must begin at the house of God. I would to God that some way or another, brothers and sisters, that in God's house and in this country that we live in, we could become aware once again of his holiness. We could become aware. I think that's where the power is going to come from. It's realizing, my friend, his holiness. Watch what the Bible said in verse 10. He said, "For the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. And their course is evil, and their force is not right." Verse 11, "For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea," notice these words now, "in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord." Let's pray together, and we'll begin this third in this series of messages, the pleasant place of the house of God. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you, Father, this morning for these that have gathered. Lord, we have visitors with us today that we're so glad they could come today. We're missing, Lord, many of our regular folk. Some are vacating, some are sick, some are traveling, Lord, to help in funeral arrangements. Lord, we know some are visiting with family. Lord, we're thankful for these that are here. We're thankful, Lord, for each one that couldn't be here today. We just ask you, God, where they are to visit with them. Keep them safe, our Lord. Father, we pray today now that you'd clothe us in our calling. Thank you, God, for the good meeting, Lord, that we've been able to be a part of this week in two different churches, for meeting with us Wednesday night, for meeting with us last night. Oh, God, you don't owe us anything. Lord, every time you meet with us, our Father, I'm so grateful, Lord, that, Lord, the likes of you would come down among the likes of us. God, we ask you today to do a work now in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, our youngins that have graduated, our Father, and headed out into this world and into college, some into careers, I pray, dear God, Lord, your hand of protection upon them. God, I pray that in your providence you would lead them and you would guide them, and Lord, they'd be sensitive to your spirit. Help us now, Father. Save the lost. Strengthen your children. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to read several passages of Scripture. And on purpose today, I'll be in this message this morning and tonight. But I'm going to take my time. I believe if God would help us to absorb these truths, that it'll change us, amen, and help us to be a better, my friend, used of God in this generation that we live in. Turn to Isaiah chapter 56. The first time that we preached in this series, we talked about the pleasant place of the heart. And we're all in danger if we're not careful of having that pleasant place to dry up on God. Amen. You know what I'm glad? I'm glad Brother Joe's in his 80s, but I'm glad his heart hadn't dried up. I'm glad he's done prayed for preacher this morning. He's done prayed for the service. Guarantee you he prayed and asked God, God, what do you want me to sing? Lord, what do you want me to do? I sent a text early this morning to Sister Helen and just told her that I missed her. And I prayed she had a good time with her daughter. And she sent me a text back and said, Pastor, God woke me up at 5 o'clock. I prayed for you at 5 o'clock this morning. Do you understand what that does in my soul? Amen. To know that somebody, amen, is calling on the God of heaven and understands that without Him we're nothing. Without Him we can do nothing, can accomplish nothing. And without Him, my friend, we're just altogether lost. Amen. But thank God with Him we can have direction in the service. With Him we can have deliverance in the service today. Let me give you some things. The pleasant place of the heart was the first place. The pleasant place of the home, that's always in danger of drying up. But then today I want to look at the pleasant place of the house of God. Listen, I don't want to start off on a negative note, but I want to ask you a question. How many's ever been in a situation in the house of God that wasn't pleasant? Would you raise your hand, amen? I'm telling you right now, I believe every one of those situations could be traced to a lack of something. And God's going to show it to us right here today. I believe, my friend, He'll show it to us. You stay with me, and I believe the Lord will help us. Look at Isaiah chapter 56 for the first passage of Scripture this morning. I'm just going to read them. I'm going to try my best not to preach them, come back and preach them. But I'm going to try my best to read these passages. And I want you to look for a common denominator or something that each one of these passages has in common. Look at Isaiah 56, first of all, and verse number 7. Isaiah 56 and verse number 7. Brother Rick, you was talking in Sunday school this morning about accountability. My hands won't even hold still. I'm shaking this morning because the truth that God has got in front of me is so important and so vital in this generation that we live in. I can't even hardly get a hold of the page and turn it because I know that God wants us to get this. Isaiah chapter 56 and verse number 7. Look at it here with me. Look at it with me this morning, please. Isaiah 56 and verse number 7. The Lord, normally I print out all my scripture. And I didn't do it this time. I don't know. It was just something in my heart. It just said, go back and do it the old way. Amen. Just go back and do it like you used to do it. Write a little verse of scripture here. There's nothing wrong printing them out, I don't reckon. But I'm just trying to mind God today. I think what He wants to say to us is not going to be said in 30 seconds. I don't even think it's going to be said in 30 minutes. Amen. Notice what He said here in Isaiah chapter 56 and verse number 7. The Bible said, even then will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 21 just a moment. Matthew chapter 21. We'll make reference to these as we go through the message. But in Matthew chapter number 21, and look at it with me in verse number 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Does anybody know where Jesus knew that that was already written? In the book of Isaiah, God said it already, amen. And Jesus wanted to remind them. I believe the Holy Ghost of the living God today is wanting to remind us
that the house of God is to be a house of prayer. Amen. I tell you, we want power, but there'll be no power without prayer. We want His presence, but there'll be none of His presence without prayer. Amen. We want the peace of God that passes all understanding, but there'll be no peace without prayer this morning. How we need Him. How we need Him. Brother Ralph, I don't know if it's in our hymnal, but there's an old song that said, "Brethren, we have met to worship, and the door of the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word?" I tell you, hopefully under your breath, you've already asked God to help this preacher today that we might preach the word of God, amen, and be instant in season and out of season. Watch what the Bible said here now in Mark chapter number 11. How many's picking up on the common denominator in Mark chapter number 11 and verse number 15? I think it's amazing. My friend, the Bible is an amazing book. And I'll show you as we go through some of these accounts what I mean after a while. The Bible said in Mark chapter 11 and verse number 15, "And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." Look with me, if you will, at Luke chapter number 19. Luke chapter number 19 this morning and verse number 45. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 45. I'm not reading this just to fill up space. I'm telling you that the God of heaven wrote it down in the Old Testament. I'm telling you that the God of heaven would not skip Matthew, would not skip Mark, would not skip Luke, and would not skip John, and wrote it down four more times in the New Testament. I believe God wants us to understand a little bit about this house of prayer. The Bible said in Luke chapter 19 and verse number 45, "And he went into the temple, and he began to cast out them that sold therein, and them that bought, saying unto them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." Turn with me, if you will, in your Bible to John chapter number 2. John chapter number 2. And we'll read that last passage and try to say some things that God has put in our heart today. In John chapter 2 and verse number 13. "And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge," it's the first time I read this in the story, but the word of God said he made a scourge of small cords, "and he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise." I believe with all of my heart this morning that the church, the house of God, it's to be a pleasant place. It's not to be a dry place. It's not to be a dead place. I believe, my friend, it's not to be a deserted place. But I believe the house of God is to be a pleasant place. Oh, to God, it's so wonderful for a pastor to look forward to coming to the house of God. It's so wonderful for his people to look forward to coming to the house of God. It's so wonderful to look with anticipation and faith and say, God, what are you going to say to us today? God, what are you going to do for us today? I believe this morning that every one of us in this building have a need. None of us, amen, have arrived. Every one of us need God to can do an operation in our heart. And I believe through prayer, God will do that that needs to be done. Oh, beloved friend, I want to give you some things. The Bible said, I will pour water on him that is thirsty. You want to know where God's pouring out water? Where people are thirsty. Amen. You say, preacher, what do you mean he'll pour water? That'll keep us from drying up around Bible Way. I tell you, if God, well, glory to God. Some of the old preachers used to say, I want to get under the spout where the glory runs out. Amen. If God will pour water on us, we won't dry up in this generation that we live in. And our church will continue to be a pleasant place in this ungodly wilderness that we live in called the world. Oh, beloved friend, the Lord wants to help us. He said, I'll pour water on him that's thirsty. The Bible said, blessed are they that hunger, thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let me ask you a question. I'm not trying to, listen to me. I'm not trying to, my friend, did he do anything except challenge us to think a little bit this morning? How about guarantee you there's people in this building, including myself, that have come to church and left just like we come. Say amen. I'm telling you, we came. But listen, sometimes the food might be the problem. Amen. But I'll tell you what's the problem more times than not in my life, and that is the appetite. I believe with all of my heart, if we're hungry and we're thirsty, I believe God will fill us. I believe, my friend, listen, somebody can read John 3:16 to us and it bless us if we're hungry and thirsting after the things of God. The pleasant places in the wilderness are dried up. God said, I don't want it to be dry. Listen to this. You know what I believe is happening this morning? I don't say this boastfully. I tell you, God's on the throne. The word of God, Jesus told that woman at the well. He said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. I tell you what we ought to do from the pulpit to the pew. We ought to ask God, amen, to pour water on us. We ought to ask God to let the rivers flow out of us, amen, like rivers of living water. The Bible said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I'm just thinking a little bit about moisture in the house of God. I'll pour water on him that's thirsty. I aggravate Brother John all the time. He had a dream, called me and told me about it. He said, I don't know where I was at. He thought he might have been at a funeral home. And he said, I came out and he said, there was these nice flowers out there at the entrance. He said, you think we could put some flowers out there at the church? And I said, well, I believe we could, brother. And different ones have helped with that. And we're so thankful for that. But you know what? Them flowers have to have some water. You know what them flowers do? They get thirsty. You know what the earth is today in our area? Somebody help me. Our yards are cracked open and our grass is burned up. Say amen. It's thirsty, amen, for a drink of water from heaven. And God wants us to be thirsty as his people, that he might pour water on us in this generation. I told Brother John, I aggravate him all the time. I said, you have the dream and I do the work. Amen. Aggravate him all the time. I've got help with that. I'm just kidding. I just aggravate him like that. Let me give you something. Here's another source of moisture. The Bible said over there in Psalm 56, turn there with me, please, this morning. I don't want to discourage you this morning. There's no way I'll get finished with this message this morning. But I am still just kicking at the introduction a little bit. We need God to pour water out. Amen. Let me just say this. God's not going to waste his water. He's not going to pour his water out where it'll be like water on a duck's back and just run off and be wasted. But I tell you, if God could find him some vessels this morning, say, oh God, I'm dry. Oh God, I need a drink. Amen. I want you to pour water on me, Lord. I want you to pour water on my pastor. I want you to pour water on my family. I want you to pour water on our community. God will do that. Look at Psalm 56. David, he's here it's a Mitchum. And he said in verse 1, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me." And then he said in verse 2, "Mine enemies would daily swallow me up. For they be too many that fight against me, O thou most high." I'm trying to obey the Spirit of God this morning. This wasn't until later in the message, but here it comes. You know what God said? He said over there in every one of those things, he said, "You've made my house a den of thieves. You've made my house a den of thieves." Now we know today that we're not in here changing money. And you see what I'm saying by that, they would have currency that my friend didn't line up with the currency in Jerusalem, so they would have to exchange it so they could buy a sacrifice. And they were getting ripped off when they exchanged their money. They were getting ripped off when they bought their turtle doves and their thing. They were, my friend, listen, charging exorbitant prices for it and ripping off the people that were coming to the temple to sacrifice, coming to God's house to do what God had commanded. And God did not like it. Jesus, my friend, there's a part of him that everybody sees. He's gentle. He's loving. He died on an old rugged cross. But there's a part that this generation is missing. He was angry with the wicked, and he overthrew the tables and he drove them out of the house of God. Let me give you this. There's a different thief running around in our churches today. You listen to me. You hear me well right here. I've got grandbabies in this building, and there's a thief that wants them. The Bible said, Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." God's saying this morning, little Olivia, little Aubrey, I want to pour water on you. I don't want you to just have life. I want you to have it abundantly. I want you to have joy. But there's a thief lurking around. He wants to steal them away from us. He wants to steal the teenagers away from us. He wants to take them off, my friend, and he let them hear some ungodly perverted. Are you listening to me? They're going to call it truth when it's nothing but a lie out of hell. And he wants to steal them from us. He wants to steal. The thief cometh not but for to kill and to steal and to destroy. I'm going to say some things right here I didn't plan on saying. But there's a thief. He don't want to just destroy our youngins. He wants to destroy Brother Tim this whole time way. He wants that preacher to quiet down. He wants to crank up the rock music. Are you listening to me in the house of God and call it worship when God's not within a million miles of it? Are you listening to me this morning? We have a thief that's trying to steal what we have as God's people. You say, "Preacher, what in the world, how in the world will Jesus drive out the thieves?" I'll tell you how. When there's plenty of moisture in the house of God. When the house of God is a pleasant place. Let me say this to you this morning. He's already. I will not ask for a show of hands. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to expose him this morning. He's already tried to rob you of your attention just on the message. And I ain't been preaching 20 minutes. He's already tried to get your mind to go into this afternoon. Or to go into tomorrow. Amen. Tomorrow's Memorial Day, and thank God for our veterans. Thank God for those that have given all. All have given some, and some have given all. Thank God for our country. But I'm telling you, that thief is trying to get your mind on out this afternoon, on past tonight, on into tomorrow, on into next week, because he does not want us to absorb the truth of God's Word. My house, be a house of prayer. This morning, let's look on here in the scripture. David has an enemy. We have an enemy. He walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants your pastor. There's a lot of men wouldn't say that. But how many of you all know that he wants your pastor? To pastor. Brother David, he wants my people. He wants your children. He wants my children. He wants your grandchildren. I tell you, Brother Rose, those youngins are beautiful. I tell you, I love to be around them. Amen. Oh, to God that they'll grow up and serve God. But there's no guarantee. We need to keep the house of God a pleasant place that they might have a chance hearing the Word of God. Let me just say this. I'm still in the introduction. Amen. You see, telling you things like that a little bit along will at least get some of you to praying. There are people in Kingsport, Tennessee that will never darken the door to the house of God again because of some unpleasant experience. Let me tell you something. You may already know this. I believe lots of times God's given preacher things just to head the wolf off at the pass. Say amen. I don't know of anything going on. I really don't. I'm just telling you, it is a pleasant place around here. I'm telling you, God is telling us how we can keep it that way. It needs to be moist. It don't need to dry up. Watch this now. I believe with all my heart, when you think about people that are out there, they've had some unpleasant experience. You know who gets hurt in those unpleasant experiences? The weak. Brother Houston, those that God's already given a back like a saw log, those that's already planted their feet, made up their mind, I'm going to serve the Lord. It'll hurt, but they'll go on. But the weak, they fall by the... Paul told us about the weak. Amen. You know, listen, I'm not here. I'm not throwing any stones, but just like in a marriage that goes to pot, the wife suffers and the husband suffers, but everybody knows who suffers the most. Same way. We need to keep the home a pleasant place. We need to keep the house of God a pleasant place. Let's go here with me now. Watch this now. He said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Somebody ought to write that reference down, my friend, and memorize that verse. In God will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are evil against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger, cast down the people, O God. Watch this now, verse 8. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? He said, preacher, what are you trying to say? The Bible said in another place, in Psalm 126, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his seeds with him. I'll bring this to your attention, that our Lord stood and looked over the city of Jerusalem, the same place where he went into the temple, the same place where he drove them out, the same place where he threw the tables over, and he wept over that city because God had sent them the truth, and they rejected the truth of God's word. Beloved friend, if we want the house of God, there's not only that moisture that comes through righteousness and seeking after God, but that there's that moisture that runs out of our eyes. I don't say this boastfully, but when my wife knocked on the camper door this morning, she said, honey, are you all right? I'll tell you, when Brother Ralph, when God will let me get in the spirit of prayer and break my heart, I'm more all right than I've ever been in my life. Our Lord said, David said to the Lord, put thou my tears into thy bottle. I'm telling you, God knows when the house of God is moist, and God knows when the house of God is dry. How we need the house of God to be a house of prayer. I heard this last week, and I'm not being contrary. As a matter of fact, I have said it. I have said it. So I'm not being contrary, but the Lord, He has ways, you know, if you'll let Him straightening you up a little bit, straightening you out. I've said this. Nowhere did God say it was a house of preaching. He said it was a house of prayer. I've said that. I heard that again last week. I heard a good man of God. He said, you know, we might do too much preaching sometimes. We might do too much singing sometimes. But he said, I don't believe we've ever been guilty of doing too much praying in the house of God. But now let me give you this. We'll get into it tonight. I'm about done with the introduction. Let me give you this. After Jesus cleaned house, he taught them, Brother Rose. He taught them for days the doctrine and the truths of the Word of God. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say we do need preaching. But I'm going to tell you this. Without praying, the preaching will be just like water on a duck's back. We won't absorb it. It won't change us. As a matter of fact, you'll end up getting mad at the preacher. But I tell you what, if you're praying for him and you're asking the God of heaven to keep the enemy out of here, you won't be mad at the truth. You'll be glad, amen, at the truth from God's precious word. Oh, beloved friend, God wants it to be a pleasant place, doesn't he? The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. I tell you, we have an enemy. How many's got some peace in your heart? He despises that. How many's got some love in your heart? How many's got some joy in your heart? Unspeakable and full of glory. The enemy despises that. But I'll say this morning and I'm done. The pleasant place in the wilderness. Here's how you can pray for Pastor. Here's how you can pray for Bible Way. If you'll join with me. Lord, don't let us just have a form of godliness. Deny the power thereof. Jackson David don't need somebody playing, Brother Michael. He needs somebody praying. Our kids don't need a bunch of folk just going through the motions from one Sunday to the next. Amen. They need to understand that this might be our last service, and we've prayed like it might be our last service, and we've approached it like it might be our last service, and we've approached it like it might be their last service. Saw graduation yesterday. I don't know how many youngins. Bukus of them. And it's just about certain. Every one of them's planning on doing something. But some of them won't grow up to be old like Brother Joe. Some of them will get off in some college party somewhere. Are you listening to me? They'll take too many drugs. Are you listening to me? And that mother and that father will get a phone call saying your baby's gone. Or they'll drink and get behind the wheel of a car and wrap it around a tree somewhere. You say, preacher, why would you be thinking about something like that? Because it breaks my heart to know that most of those youngins do not know Jesus. You say you're judging them. No, I'm believing the Bible. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many are in that way. Narrow is the way that leads to life eternal. And few there be that find it. Pleasant place. The house of God. The house of God. A moist place. A place where, Brother Lowell, people leave wet places in the altar. A place where there's wet places in their Bible, where tears have dripped down as God has spoke to their heart. A place where folk are hungry and thirsty after righteousness. It's been a while since I've done this. The only reason I've done it in recent years of my life, is because I was in a hurry, or maybe the service station have a reputation, Brother David, of having water in their fuel or something like that. But I was in a hard place. In other words, I thought I might be walking if I didn't. I thought a little water in it'd be better than walking, Brother Tim. Amen. And so most of the time when I pull in to fill it up. I have, Brother Rose, when I was on the road. I mean, if it's charging 40 cents more up there in Pennsylvania, if I could wait till I got back to Virginia, I might put me $20 worth in to get down to Virginia and save some money. But most of the time when we pull in, help me now. Why, it used to, if you got $5 worth, you was going somewhere. And now if you get $5 worth, you'll be doing good to get the grass mowed. I mean, who would have ever thought we'd pull in with a 5-gallon jug for our lawnmower, amen, put $25 worth in it? But I've done that one time. Let me say this. God will change us if we'll get tired of coming to the house of God for $5 worth or $10 worth. And we'll just go in the house of God and say, Lord, if you don't care, fill her up. You remember that, amen. Remember them days when somebody was washing your windshield for you and they'd say, can I help you? And you'd say, fill her up with high test. How many remembers he said, amen? My wife called me one time and she said, honey, what's a battery? I said, what? She said, what's a battery? My dad's uncle was a service station attendant and he told him, my wife, he said, your battery needs to be replaced. I said, oh, John told you that? Yeah, I said, it's a battery. She said, oh, I know what a battery is. I just didn't know what a battery was. You know what I believe? I believe if this group of people in prayer, before we ever got to the house of God, Brother Lane, we'll just go over there with Jesus and sit down at the charger. Instead of coming to the house of God, amen, and just saying, preacher, charge us up a little bit, amen. That's the difference in this generation and generations gone by. They come already charged. Say amen. They prayed up. God's just trying to challenge us. Let's make sure that our church don't dry up. Let's make sure that it remains a pleasant place in the wilderness. Let me just say this to you. Listen to me. Everybody listen carefully. I'm trying to quit. But things can go well and we can go along and see the church grow and love one another for 10 years. And nobody will ever find out much about it. But you let us have one unpleasant experience. And all of Bloomingdale will know it before the sun goes down. We need to stay with it, Brother Ted. We need some moisture in the house of God. Let's pray. Father, sure do love you this morning. Lord, I thank you that I have the privilege to be the pastor here. God, as Brother Rick said this morning, what a responsibility it is. Lord, I don't claim to know all of why that you put on our heart what you do. God, I don't have to. I just, Lord, want to obey you. I don't, Lord, want to be guilty of preaching for results. I want to preach for the Savior. I want to preach, Lord, for the benefit of my precious people. I want to preach, Lord, for the benefit of that one that's lost without God, that they might come to know you. I ask you today, Lord, speak to our hearts. I pray, oh God, today we'd ask ourselves this question. What kind of church would our church be if everyone was just like me? Oh God, God help us to take hold of the horns of the altar and see to it, Lord, that your house is a house of prayer. Lord, the preaching would get so much more accomplished if we were praying like we should. God, I don't preach much on prayer. Lord, I know it's probably one of the weakest parts of my Christian experience. God, I'm not satisfied. I want to be a better prayer warrior, Lord. Lord, I can't remember who said it. Someone said, God forbid that I would sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for thee. God, if I don't pray for my people, I'm sinning against God. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that moms and dads, husbands, wives, teenagers, God, there'd be a revival of prayer. Lord, that we'd take time to be holy, to speak oft with our Lord. Father, help us. Brother Ralph, if you'll come, it'll be a cappella and that'll be fine. Whatever God's put on your heart. I'm going to ask you this morning just to simply mind the Lord. If there's somebody that'd like to come and pray, if there's somebody that needs to be saved, all you'd have to do is just come down here. You don't need me. You need Jesus. But if I could pray with you or share scripture with you, I'd love to. Maybe somebody'd like to just come and ask God to keep his hand on your family. Keep his hand on your marriage. Keep his hand on your youngins. Keep his hand on our church. Keep us a pleasant place in this wilderness that we live in.